This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from 715 Restaurant at 715 Massachusetts Street in downtown Lawrence. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 3 p.m. till late. More at 715mass.com.
It's 82 degrees in Lawrence, 80 in Emporia, 82 in Atchison. It is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, many other frequencies all around the state, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
Coming up in our next half hour, the Department of Homeland Security held a job recruitment expo in Utah last week. A lot of the attendees are hoping to become ICE deportation officers.
A lot of us still have a lot of energy. We have a lot of love for our country. We want to serve. We just don't know how to get our foot in the door.
Maina Bustillo went to find out who wants to become an ICE officer and why. We will also learn more about redistricting, possibly, in Maryland, all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Crystal Image Photography Studio, offering customized photography sessions and packages to create artwork that captures light and emotion. Now in downtown Lawrence, information and portfolio at tcistudio.com.
Your donation is the power keeping KPR independent, public-minded, and focused on the community. That's how we provide culture, information, and intelligent entertainment. KPR is only what we can make it together. I know KPR matters to you, and your support matters to KPR. You can contribute right now at kansaspublicradio.org, and thank you for your support. Lows tonight in the mid-50s. Could see some fog here and there after midnight. Gorgeous day tomorrow for the football game here in Lawrence. Sunny with a high in the mid-80s. It's 6:20.
Support for NPR comes
with one big holdout.
So the fact that the U.S. is no longer being part of these conversations is a major blow to international efforts.
Even with the U.S. on the sidelines, we hear how global leaders are moving forward on climate goals. That's on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow at 4 p.m. for Weekend All Things Considered on your KPR stations.
Support for KPR comes from the Flint Hills Discovery Center in Manhattan, inspiring visitors to celebrate, explore, and care for the Flint Hills region with exhibits, programs, and events to engage visitors of all ages. More at FlintHillsDiscovery.org.
News headlines are coming up next. It's 82 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:30.
Where they'll gain a foothold in government networks by compromising third-party devices.
NPR's Jenna McLaughlin. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The Kansas Supreme Court today upheld the state's broad protections for workers who claim religious exemptions to receiving vaccines. Zane Irwin has the story.
The ruling makes it easier for Kansas job applicants to refuse workplace vaccine requirements. The case started in 2022, when a Leawood woman was denied an occupational therapy job. The employer said she did not qualify for a religious exemption due to its COVID-19 vaccination requirement. A Johnson County District Court judge agreed with the employer, but the Kansas Supreme Court overturned that decision, ruling that employers may not ask follow-up questions when applicants say they religiously oppose vaccination. Justices Melissa Standridge and Eric Rosen dissented. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
The Trump administration is ending a survey that tracks food access across the nation. As Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports, anti-hunger advocates say less information means it will be difficult to know what is working to address food insecurity.
Federal officials are scrapping the household food security reports, saying they are, quote, redundant, costly, politicized, and extraneous studies. Gina Platanino with the National Food Advocacy Group Food Research and Action Center says the survey is the main source for understanding how people are experiencing food insecurity across the country.
It's difficult for advocates, for policymakers to understand or to be able to say what is working if you don't have the data to support whatever point or analysis you want to make.
She says the cancellation is even more concerning on top of the administration's recent cuts to federal food benefits. I'm Anna Pope, Harvest Public Media.
The Kansas Department of Health and Environment is alerting Kansans to the dangers of a product known as 70H that is widely sold in smoke shops, gas stations, and convenience stores. 70H is an unregulated synthetic drug, a highly potent opioid-like compound. The health department says the product is highly addictive and using it, quote, in combination with alcohol or other sedatives can cause severe respiratory depression and in some cases even death. Health officials say the product can be, quote, extremely harmful even in small doses and are urging consumers to avoid all products containing 70H.
Support for NPR.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. We've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune into Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
Join us Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, a great way to get caught up on all the news from overnight, first thing in the morning.
Support for KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas, asking listeners when they last visited a dentist. For a preventive checkup, dentists can be found at deltadentalks.com/find.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, lots of other frequencies too, and always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 11:30 at 824 New Hampshire in downtown Lawrence, April through November, rain or shine. More information available at lawrencefarmersmarket.org.
Up next on your KPR1 stations, we have news headlines and Stardate, then 2 hours of film music. Tonight, jazz in the movies. Daryl Brogdon is your host, 7 to 9 p.m. on KPR1. If you're joining us on KPR2, up next is Snap Judgment. Clear skies tonight throughout northeast and east central Kansas, though we could see some patchy fog after midnight. Low-lying areas are really most at risk of this. Lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night's low back down in the upper 50s. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Members of this NPR station.
You might hear some people you agree with on Morning Edition and some you don't. That's the point. Different views for a full picture of the news. Listen weekdays from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition from 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. We're live, we are local, we are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City, 91.3. KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics. Dole Fellow Joni Wickham moderates bipartisan consensus building with Kansas State Representatives Laura Williams and Brandon Woodard. October 8th, 4 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
Stay tuned. Up next, we have news headlines, followed by Stardate. Then it's Film Music Friday. Daryl Brogdon, your host, till 9 o'clock. Tonight, focusing on jazz in the movies. Lots of great jazz scores, including the one we're hearing right now in the background, The Hustler, great Paul Newman movie. That show, and of course, more jazz following Film Music Friday here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, promoting Caw Valley Field Day, October 11th at the Shirk Farm in North Lawrence. Live music from Chuck Mead and many more. Details at CawValleyFieldDay.com.
Lows in the mid-50s tonight under clear skies. It's 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Much of the world has now recognized Palestine as a state, but Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel won't let the UN, quote, shove a terror state down our throats. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports on the Israeli leader's defiant UN speech.
Please be seated.
After a walkout by many diplomats in the UN hall, Netanyahu chastised countries for recognizing a Palestinian state. He calls it a reward for terrorism by Hamas.
Giving the Palestinians a state 1 mile from Jerusalem after October 7th is like giving Al-Qaeda a state 1 mile from New York City after September 11th. This is sheer madness. It's insane, and we won't do it.
While U.S. and Israeli diplomats cheered his message, President Trump has made clear that he opposes Israeli plans to annex the West Bank, which Palestinians want as a future state. Netanyahu is set to meet Trump on Monday. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, New York.
More and more women are freezing their eggs to preserve fertility. The practice has increased fourfold over the past 10 years. A new study finds that most have not returned to use them. NPR's Ping Huang reports.
The paper, published in the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology, finds that more than 16,000 women are cryogenically freezing their eggs each year. The process helps extend the possibility of having children later on. But researcher Dr. Lindsay Croner, a fertility specialist at UCLA Geffen School of Medicine, says the return rate is low.
We found, you know, a low percentage of people came back. It was lower than I was expecting. And the people that did come back tended to be older at the time they froze their eggs.
Just 6% of women came back within 5 to 7 years to thaw the eggs, add sperm, and create embryos. To Croner, this indicates that many who pursue this option consider it a long-term backup plan. More healthy young people have been freezing their eggs, and they may try other options for conceiving before using them. Ping Huang, NPR News.
Federal regulators are giving Boeing more authority to perform the final safety checks on new 737 MAX jets. NPR's Joel Rose reports.
The Federal Aviation Administration will once again allow Boeing to issue airworthiness certificates for some of its 737 MAX planes. The FAA revoked that authority in 2019 after the crashes of two 737 MAX jets that killed 346 people. The move will not immediately lead to the delivery of more planes, but it is a sign of the FAA's growing confidence that Boeing has improved its quality and safety practices. The FAA capped production of the 737 MAX at 38 jets per month after a mid-air panel blowout last year. The agency says Boeing has not yet sought to increase that production rate, and that FAA safety inspectors would still have to sign off before it does. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks closed up slightly today. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. From the University of Kansas, your place to find NPR News is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate, September 26th. The closest giant galaxy to the Milky Way is Messier 31, the Andromeda Galaxy. It's 2.5 million light years away, but it's getting closer by about 250,000 miles every hour. For more than a decade, in fact, it's looked like the two galaxies were on a collision course. But a recent study says there's only a 50-50 chance of a collision and merger. And if it does happen, it'll take place billions of years later than previous estimates. The new study used years of observations by two space telescopes, Hubble and Gaia. Researchers plugged those observations into simulations that also considered the gravitational effects of two smaller galaxies. The results indicated that one of them tends to push Andromeda and the Milky Way together, while the other tends to pull them apart. The researchers ran 100,000 simulations. In half of them, Andromeda and the Milky Way flew past each other and went their own ways. In the other half, they eventually spiraled together and merged, but not for at least 10 billion years, twice as long as earlier estimates. The simulations aren't the final word. There are just too many uncertainties. But for now, it seems likely that the two giants will stay apart for a long, long time. M31 is in the northeast at nightfall. Under dark skies, it's visible as a hazy patch of light. Binoculars make it easier to pick out. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Music for A Streetcar Named Desire, made in 1951 and here on KPR's Film Music Friday. No less an authority than Miles Davis was a fan of the jazz-flavored score composed by Alex North for this film, one of the first to use jazz elements. And it's a great starting point for this week's Film Music Friday as we look at the use of jazz in film. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and thank you for joining us. You know, jazz and the movies have had a problematic relationship. Until the 1950s, the main function of jazz in a film was strictly for entertainment. I mean, in the 1930s and 40s, big band leaders were the pop stars of their day, and they appeared in many films. In those days, jazz in film was often used as what's called source music. In other words, music that, on film, might be heard being played in a bar or coming from a radio. But by 1950, the world was still hung over from the Second World War. It was also the time of McCarthyism, communist witch hunts, and in Hollywood, blacklisting. Out of that time came darker films, films where the protagonists were not always nice people. And happy endings, well, those were for other people. For the films that came out of that time, jazz was a perfect fit. Following Alex North's groundbreaking use of jazz in A Streetcar Named Desire, Leith Stevens was among the first to create a progressive jazz score for a film called The Wild One in 1953. Now, this is the original biker movie with Marlon Brando and Lee Marvin as rival gang leaders mixing it up in a small California town. Much of Leith Stevens' score features trumpeter Shorty Rogers, accompanied by a first-rate crew of West Coast jazz musicians. Here's some of the music for The Wild One, 1953, on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you. That's music by Leith Stevens for The Wild One here on KPR. On tonight's Film Music Friday, we're hearing examples of jazz in film. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and up ahead, one of the most extraordinary film noirs ever made, the cynical and absolutely merciless Sweet Smell of Success. One of the best jazz soundtracks to come out of the 1950s was Elmer Bernstein's score for The Man with the Golden Arm in 1955. This was only Bernstein's ninth film as a composer. Up to that time, he'd worked mostly on low-budget war films, westerns, and science fiction. The Man with the Golden Arm is the story of a drug addict, played by Frank Sinatra, who gets clean while in prison but struggles to stay that way in the outside world. One critic had this to say about Bernstein's music for this film. On its own, it still shines as an excellent example of how good film music can get. Bernstein's control over the smallest details of the music is what gives it the energy it contains. The theme song from The Man with the Golden Arm became a minor hit in the 1950s. There were about a half a dozen different versions recorded between 1955 and 1959. Let's hear some of the other cues that Elmer Bernstein composed for the film here on KPR's Film Music Friday. Elmer Bernstein's music for The Man with a Golden Arm, 1955, here on Kansas Public Radio. This film was so controversial at the time, the Motion Picture Association of America originally refused to issue a seal of approval because it dealt with drug addiction, then still a fairly taboo subject in movies. To record his score, Bernstein hired a number of well-known jazz musicians, some of them recovering drug addicts. At the website Movie Music UK, writer Craig Licey said that while Alex North opened the door for using jazz as a film score, with A Streetcar Named Desire, Bernstein's effort with this music blew the door off the hinges. And how. It's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon, and tonight we're listening to examples of jazz in movies. Not necessarily jazz as the subject matter of the film, but instead the music for the film. And still to come, pianist John Lewis of the Modern Jazz Quartet creates the score for Robert Wise's classic film noir, Odds Against Tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon, you're invited to join Destiny for KPR's Classics by Request. It's tomorrow, 1 to 4 p.m. It's the fun classical music show where you pick the playlist. This week's most popular request, the William Tell Overture. Also, we'll hear a little Vivaldi Four Seasons and comedic waltzes all make for a fun 3 hours. You'll have to find out more by tuning in tomorrow, Classics by Request, 1 to 4 on KPR. From the University of Kansas, your place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia. 2 years after Man with a Golden Arm, Elmer Bernstein wrote the score for Sweet Smell of Success, a corrosive film noir about a powerful newspaper columnist played by Burt Lancaster and a sleazy press agent in his orbit played by Tony Curtis. This movie actually spawned 2 soundtrack albums, one featuring Bernstein's orchestral score and the other with some of the themes played on screen by the Chico Hamilton Quintet, composed by Chico Hamilton and Fred Katz. Here's a concerto of film themes from The Sweet Smell of Success on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you. That's the Chico Hamilton Quintet and a concerto of themes for The Sweet Smell of Success, composed by Chico Hamilton and Fred Katz, who's featured there on the cello, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Tonight, it's jazz and film. There's news from NPR at 8:01, and Film Music Friday continues here till 9 p.m. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Prairie Paws Animal Shelter, with locations in Ottawa, Manhattan, and Emporia, providing compassionate care for animals in need, including spay and neuter programs to help reduce pet overpopulation. Details at prairiepaws.org. Just a reminder that if you miss the broadcast of Film Music Friday, you can catch up or listen again at the KPR website. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org and click on Music. If you have the free KPR app, Film Music Friday appears in the on-demand section, and you can stream the show right to your smartphone. It's great for jogging. And if you've enabled the KPR skill on your Amazon smart speakers, whenever you say play KPR, you'll have the option to stream individual shows on demand, including this one. Details about all the ways to listen are at the website, kansaspublicradio.org. music by John Lewis, played by the Modern Jazz Quartet, 1959, and Robert Wise's Odds Against Tomorrow, here on KPR. It's another film noir, this one about a bank heist that goes wrong and the racial tension between two of the robbers. Pianist John Lewis had been a member of the Dizzy Gillespie Big Band in the 40s, and in 1952 formed the Modern Jazz Quartet, which he led for close to 25 years. His first film score was for the French film No Sun in Venice, made in 1957, and subsequently he wrote music for several other films, including a version of Shakespeare's The Tempest. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Kansas City Zoo and Aquarium, offering Friends of the Zoo memberships, providing admission to the zoo for an entire year. Membership supports the zoo's conservation fund, preserving wildlife around the world. More at kansascityzoo.org. And Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise. From the University of Kansas, it's the place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News. Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3. And KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org, or better yet, just tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Time's coming up on a minute past 8 o'clock, and the news is next on KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Supreme Court says the Trump administration can continue to withhold over $4 billion in foreign aid approved by Congress. A lower court ordered the administration to release the funds, but the Supreme Court's conservative majority said Trump's foreign policy authority outweighed the harms claimed by international aid groups. A New York immigration officer has been placed on administrative leave after video circulated online showed him pushing a woman against the wall and to the ground. NPR's Jimena Bustillo reports.
NPR was in the courthouse last month rolling when the same officer aggressively arrested a court observer.
Why are you pushing? Are you shoving?
DHS spokesperson Tricia McLaughlin says in a statement that the officer's latest actions caught on camera yesterday are, quote, unacceptable and beneath the men and women of ICE. There have been growing tensions between federal law enforcement and the public and immigration courts as agents are tasked with making more arrests. Over the last 5 months, ICE had a bigger footprint inside immigration courts, which are operated by the Justice Department. Jimena Bustillo, NPR News.
Federal immigration officials have detained the superintendent of Iowa's largest school district. Iowa Public Radio's Isabella Liu reports.
Des Moines Superintendent Ian Roberts was arrested after fleeing a traffic stop initiated by ICE agents. Roberts is from Guyana in South America, but grew up in Brooklyn. ICE says he received a final removal order last year. The agency also says there were weapon charges against him in 2020, and a loaded gun was found in his car. Des Moines School Board Chair Jackie Norris says she hasn't been able to verify new information, but praised how Roberts led the district.
We do not have all the facts. There is much we do not know. What we do know is that Dr. Roberts has been an integral part of our school community since he joined over 2 years ago.
Roberts led the district since 2023 as Des Moines' first black superintendent. For NPR News, I'm Isabella Liu in Des Moines.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made this claim at the United Nations today.
Thanks to special efforts by Israeli intelligence, my words are now also being carried. They're streamed live to the cell phones of Gazans.
But NPR's Emily Fang reports few, if any, in Gaza heard Netanyahu.
The prime minister's office shared pictures of big loudspeakers mounted on trucks in Israel on the border with Gaza to blast Netanyahu's speech into the enclave. But news outlets, including NPR, contacted people across Gaza who say they didn't hear anything. NPR's producer in Gaza City, Anas Baba, also kept an ear out for Netanyahu's speech.
He said that he's going to broadcast a message to the Israeli hostages, but in Gaza City now, the only thing that we can hear here is the Israeli airstrikes, the artilleries, and the tanks firing.
And dozens of diplomats walked out of the United Nations Assembly Hall ahead of Netanyahu's speech. Emily Fang, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
This is NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Walton Family Foundation, working to create access to opportunity for people and communities by tackling tough social and environmental problems. More information at waltonfamilyfoundation.org. From the University of Kansas, it's the place to find NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio. That's Henry Mancini with the main title music for Touch of Evil, 1958, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. The film was directed by Orson Welles and was taken away from him in the editing stage by the studio. Now, according to Henry Mancini, he met Welles only one time and they never discussed the music. However, Welles had written a 3-page document outlining the type of music he was after. And Mancini was sufficiently inspired to turn out one of his most memorable scores. Tonight on Film Music Friday, we're hearing jazz in the movies. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and coming up, Miles Davis provides a largely improvised score for the French thriller Elevator to the Gallows, plus Kenyon Hopkins' near-minimalist score for The Hustler, starring Paul Newman. Next, Anatomy of a Murder, 1959, a thriller about a small-town lawyer who's hired to defend a soldier who's murdered a local bartender. Of course, there's more to the story than meets the eye. Music for the film was composed by Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn and was performed by Ellington's orchestra. Duke himself appears in the film as the band leader at a local bar. Now, although he'd appeared in many films by this time, Anatomy of a Murder was Ellington's first commission to write a film score. The music is heavily dipped in the scent of the blues and is by turns moody, witty, and sexy. Ellington won 3 Grammy Awards for his recording of the score in 1959. Here's music for Anatomy of a Murder on KPR. from Otto Preminger's Anatomy of a Murder. The music by Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn, played by Duke Ellington and his orchestra, here on KPR's Film Music Friday. This score has the distinction of being one of the first created for a major Hollywood film by African-American composers. When the film was released in 1959, Ellington's score was panned by many critics, but as the years have passed, it's become known as one of Ellington's finest works. It's Jazz and Film on tonight's Film Music Friday. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Thank you for joining us. Still to come, one of the best jazz scores ever for a movie, Kenyon Hopkins' music for The Hustler in 1962. Next, Elevator to the Gallows, a French crime thriller directed by Louis Malle from 1958. The film is about a married woman and her lover who plot to murder her husband. However, their carefully planned crime goes south when the killer is trapped in an elevator. Music for the film was provided by Miles Davis, his first attempt at writing music for a motion picture. Apparently, Miles Davis viewed a rough cut of the film and then made some notes, noodled around on his hotel room piano to develop various themes for the film. 2 weeks later, he brought the musicians into the studio with little or no preparation and improvised a lot of the music while watching a film playback using the basic themes that he had developed. Here's music for Elevator to the Gallows, 1958, on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you. Music by Miles Davis for Elevator to the Gallows, 1958, here on Kansas Public Radio. At the time he created the score for this film, Miles Davis was in a bit of a transition in his career. He had disbanded his famous quintet in the mid-50s because most of the members had become unreliable due to drug problems. And he was touring Europe with a new band that includes some French musicians, including drummer Pierre Michelot and saxophonist Marty Weiland, both of whom are featured in the film score. You're listening to Film Music Friday here on KPR. I'm Darryl Brogdon, and shortly we've got film music by Herbie Hancock from two different films. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri since 1982, with a variety of environmental services from indoor air quality and mold services to energy audits and solar energy installation. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News and Film Music Friday, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia. One of the finest examples of jazz and film has to be the score by Kenyon Hopkins for The Hustler, 1962. This is the film where Paul Newman plays Eddie Felsen, a small-time pool hustler who takes on the champion Minnesota Fats, played by Jackie Gleason, in a single high-stakes match. Kenyon Hopkins had worked in films before, creating music for movies like 12 Angry Men, Wild River, and The Fugitive Kind. He had a knack for writing an evocative kind of urban, rotten-to-the-core music that was ideal for films like The Hustler. So here is some of that music by Kenyon Hopkins on KPR's Film Music Friday. There's music by Kenyon Hopkins for The Hustler, directed by Robert Rawson, 1962, on Kansas Public Radio. This film provided Paul Newman with his first iconic film role and was nominated for 8 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. Kenyon Hopkins continued as a composer for film and TV for many years and recorded a number of mood music albums in the 1950s and 60s. Here at KPR, we've got one job: to serve our listeners with exceptional news, culture, and ideas. Your donation directly funds this service that you depend on. Because you listen to KPR, please consider becoming a member listener at kansaspublicradio.org to help fund the programming that matters. Thanks a lot. This is Film Music Friday on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. From the movie Bullet, 1968, that's the music of Lalo Schifrin on KPR's Film Music Friday. In my opinion, this is one of Lalo Schifrin's finest film scores. He wrote this at a time that he was really the flavor of the month. His music for TV shows like Mission Impossible and Mannix had become very popular, and he worked on a lot of films around this time, including The Cincinnati Kid, Cool Hand Luke, and numerous. Later, we'll hear some of David Shire's fabulous score for Farewell, My Lovely, one of the finest screen versions of Raymond Chandler's Private Eye, Philip Marlowe. Support for Film Music Friday on KPR comes from the Lawrence Arts Center, presenting Runway and Rhythm, a designer fashion showcase and dance party, Saturday, October 4th. VIP and general admission event details at lawrenceartscenter.org. Composer and pianist Herbie Hancock has written music for a number of films, beginning in 1966 with Michelangelo Antonioni's thriller Blow Up. This is about a fashion photographer who thinks he may have photographed a murder. 20 years after that, Hancock was involved in the music for Round Midnight, one of the best films about the jazz life ever made, and for which Herbie Hancock won a well-deserved Oscar for Best Original Score. Let's hear some music from both of those films, beginning with Blow Up on KPR's Film Music Friday. Thank you. Music for two films by Herbie Hancock on KPR. We just heard something from the soundtrack of Blow Up, made in 1966, and Hancock's first film score, plus a bit of his Oscar-winning music for Round Midnight in 1986, a film about a troubled jazz musician who flees to France to escape his various personal problems. NPR News is ahead at 9:01, followed by Jazz in the Night here on KPR. I'm Daryl Brogdon. This is Film Music Friday, where we celebrate movie music every week. And tonight, we're hearing examples of jazz in the movies. In 1975, the film Farewell, My Lovely resurrected the character of Private Eye Philip Marlowe, played here by Robert Mitchum. It's based on the novel by Raymond Chandler, written in 1940. Philip Marlowe is hired by an ex-con to find his missing girlfriend, a former nightclub dancer. Music for the film is by David Shire, who at the time was creating some remarkable film scores for films like The Conversation, The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, and All the President's Men. The melancholy main theme is maybe one of the best examples of symphonic jazz there is. The entire score is bluesy and haunting, perfectly capturing the Los Angeles of the 1940s. Music by David Shire for Farewell, My Lovely on KPR's Film Music Friday.
Thank you.
That's by David Shire. Music for the neo-noir mystery Farewell, My Lovely, 1975 on KPR. I heard an interview once with David Shire where he said he got the idea for the main theme from listening to a jazz DJ back in the 50s. He used to play a blues piano loop in the background whenever he was talking on the air. The entire score is really gorgeous and was released as an album shortly after the film came out in the mid-70s. Hope you've enjoyed this excursion into the world of jazz in film, and if you're inspired to seek out some of these soundtracks for more listening, so much the better. I'm Daryl Brogdon. It's Film Music Friday. We're here every week at this time with the music of the movies. Stay tuned for NPR News next, followed by Jazz in the Night, right here for you on KPR. We'll leave you with some contemporary jazz from the movies, from the score of the film Whiplash. This is by Tim Simonek. It's called Too Hip to Retire on KPR's Film Music Friday. From the University of Kansas, it's the place to find Film Music Friday and NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, 91.3. And KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or simply tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. NPR News is next, followed by Jazz in the Night. Support for news on Kansas Public Radio comes from the Winter School, a recently renovated one-room schoolhouse in Lecompton, exploring the foundations of education through art and philosophy, with opening exhibition called History, Notice Me. Details at winterschool70.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Attorney General Pam Bondi says she's deploying reinforcements to ICE facilities around the country to protect agents and property. The move comes after a gunman opened fire at an ICE facility in Dallas earlier this week, killing one detainee and injuring two others. In a post online, Bondi said, quote, "The Department of Justice will not stand idly by in the face of such lawlessness." President Trump and his allies have ousted career prosecutors and other high-level employees at the Department of Justice, but the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey marks a turning point for the agency. As NPR's Mara Liasson explains, the department is under pressure to go after Trump's perceived enemies.
He specifically told the attorney general to go after specific people, including Comey. He said, do it fast. He clearly understood the clock was ticking. And the interesting thing is, it doesn't matter if this case is weak or strong. He's sending a signal to everyone else that I can bankrupt you, I can ruin your career. Even if I can't convict you, I can ruin your life.
NPR's Mara Liasson reporting. Iran's foreign minister says diplomacy with the U.S. is a, quote, pure dead end. And he rejected a move by European countries to reimpose U.N. sanctions over its nuclear program. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Russia and China have failed for a second time to prevent U.N. sanctions from snapping back. Iran's foreign minister, Saeed Abbas Arachi, says it was the U.S. that pulled out of the nuclear deal in the first place. And he says the three European countries that were also part of the deal have no right to reimpose sanctions.
Today's crisis is the direct result of U.S. withdrawal and Europe's inaction. The U.S. betrayed diplomacy.
Arachi says Iran has had, in his words, a terrible experience negotiating with the U.S. Iran was about to hold more talks when Israel and the U.S. bombed nuclear sites earlier this year. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, New York.
Cybersecurity officials say federal agencies must take inventory of their information systems immediately to see if bad actors have taken advantage of a new digital vulnerability. NPR's Jenna McLaughlin reports.
The Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity and Information Security Agency, or CISA, has issued an urgent warning about newly discovered flaws in certain products made by technology company Cisco. CISA is requiring federal agencies account for their use of these systems and scan for breaches. Cisco says it has a full-time team devoted to investigating the group of hackers targeting its technology who have discovered multiple previously unknown vulnerabilities in their systems. Other cybersecurity companies, including Census, have concluded the hacking group has possible ties to China. Chinese state hacking groups are known for sophisticated spying campaigns where they'll gain a foothold in government networks by compromising third-party devices. Jen McLaughlin, NPR News.
From Washington, this is NPR News. A group of former national park superintendents is calling on the Trump administration to close the parks to visitors in case of a government shutdown. 40 former superintendents said in a letter to Interior Secretary Doug Burgum that past shutdowns have led to vandalism and destruction of wildlife habitats when parks remained open. New Mexico is officially clear of the measles outbreak that began in February. That's the word from the state's Department of Health. From member station KUNM, Megan Kamrick has more.
Acting state epidemiologist Dr. Chad Smelzer says there have been no new cases over the past 42 days, which equals two incubation periods for the disease. Also, wastewater samples have been negative for quite a while around the state. Smelzer says the state overcame the outbreak, even as other states like Arizona and Utah are seeing rising cases.
We were very aggressive with case investigation and contact tracing. So trying to stop spread once a case was identified.
He also credits high vaccination rates and healthcare providers' work, especially in identifying and reporting the cases. 100 measles cases were identified in New Mexico, which health officials say was likely due to an outbreak in neighboring West Texas. For NPR News, I'm Megan Kamrick in Albuquerque.
Australian scientists have tested bite-resistant wetsuits by letting sharks bite them at sea. They say the suits can help keep swimmers safe. The materials don't prevent bites, but can lessen injuries compared to standard wetsuits. From Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Here she comes. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Hey, Jim, you better get the rig. Ooh, 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 ooh. She's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lips to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Thank you.
here she comes. Ooh, 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 ooh. Hey, Jim, you better get the ring. Ooh, 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 ooh. You know she's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts to Ray Brown's hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia, on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Harriet Connick Jr. and that very special guest, the great Ray Brown on bass, plus saxophonist Ned Gould opening tonight's Jazz in the Night with a wonderful Johnny Mercer and Harry Warren song on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. It's from the album simply called 25, which Harry put out, guess what, when he was 25 years old. That's way back in 1992. And this is a really terrific album because it strips away all the orchestration and all the razzmatazz and everything like that. And that can be fine sometimes, but it's just Harry and his piano for almost the whole album. Ellis Marsalis comes in and joins Harry for a number. And I think there's another guest as well. And then this track, which wind up the album with Ray Brown and Ned Gould. Harry Connick Jr. on KPR. And guess what? We've got an album by bassist Ray Brown's trio and special friends up next. We're going to be hearing in a bit the debut album of a very impressive young trumpeter. It's just out, called Opening Statement, from Jason Charles. And later this hour, out of the vinyl vault, tenor saxophonist Joe Henderson, recorded live at the Village Vanguard back in 1995. Well, here's the Ray Brown Trio album. Some of my best friends are guitarists, and you get a series of my best friends are saxophonists and singers, whatever. Some of my best friends are guitarists brought in six different guitarists. They each played on two numbers, and we're going to hear Ray Brown with his old compatriot in the Oscar Peterson Trio way back in the day, Herb Ellis on guitar, and it's Ray Brown's tune Blues for Junior, Jeff Keyser piano, Kareem Riggins drums, bassist Ray Brown's Trio, and Herb Ellis on KPR.